This morning we're going to bring our little series to a conclusion, and I could really ask a lot more questions in regards to questions that we ask, just so many different things that just to present themselves each and every day, but I'm going to stop and maybe we can pick it up sometime later. But today we are going to finish by looking at how can I know the will of God. And many of you remember the story that I shared last week about the person who went ice fishing, and he went to cut the hole in the ice, and it said, "There are no fish under the ice." He says, "Is that you, God?" And of course, he said, "No, I'm the manager of the ice skating rink." But when we stop and we think about that, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier to have God just call us every day or send us a text message every week and say, "This is what I have planned for you today. This is my will for you today. This is my will for you this week." Or maybe if we had a port in the side of our head and he could just sort of plug in his flash drive and download all this stuff so that we could know God's will for this week. I find that would be a whole lot easier, don't you? But you really have to stop and you have to discern and discover God's will. And sometimes we really, you know, do this in ways that are very skittish. You know, we really need to stop and think. I want to just mention to you some ways that we try to find God's will. First of all, there's that random coincidence approach that somehow the Holy Spirit of God has brought all these coincidences together. And I remember in school and college, Marion College, which is now Indiana Wesleyan. In fact, you can't recognize Marion College other than one building. They've torn everything else down. And so that's progress, I guess. But I was in Williams Hall, which overlooked the campus and the student center, and I saw a young girl walking by one day, and I said, "You know, I wonder if it'd be neat to have her out for a date if God wants me to date her." And so I was traveling home that weekend to work, and as I was traveling home, there was a billboard that had the background color, the color of her eyes, and the last two digits were her age. And about that same time, would you believe it, the sun broke through the clouds and my favorite Christian song came on the radio, and I knew it was God's will that I ask her out for a date. Now, how many of you believe that? No, if you believe that, I've got some land to sell you. But anyway, you know, God, you know, sometimes we think God leads us in all sorts of ways that he brings us together. And then, of course, how many of you remember that magic eight ball, that little black ball, and you ask it these questions, very simple questions. You shake it up and turn it over, and a little answer floats to the top, and hopefully you have the right answer. Well, I you know, that doesn't work either. I think, again, about a man who had vowed off donuts for several months, and he got to thinking about how it'd be great just to bite into a good, delicious peanut butter cream donut once more. And so he was saying, "God, if it's your will that I have that donut, may there be an open parking space in front of that donut shop today." And he says, "You know what? On the eighth time around the block, there it was. I mean, it was open." And so we have a tendency to somehow fit God into the process and shake the ball and turn it over. Then there's this mysterious peace in the my heart kind of approach. And don't get me wrong, because I do believe that God grants us peace. You know, in seeking his will and making decisions, he does bring us peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. But I find that we also need to be very wary of this, because it follows the feeling route. And our feelings can be very different from day to day. And believe it or not, you can make a wrong decision and still very, very peaceful about it. And so be aware of that kind of approach in trying to discern the will of God for your life. And then last of all, the Bible lottery approach. And I don't know how many of you have used this approach. I have. In fact, you know, it's very easy to open up the Bible and point your finger at a verse and say, "That's God's will for my life today." And believe it or not, you know, I'm not sure I want to read this verse today, because it talks about sufferings of this present time are not worthy. But, you know, I think about the man who tried that approach, and he opened up the Bible, and it came to Matthew chapter 27, and it says, "And Judas went out and hanged himself." He didn't like the approach, and so he closed up the Bible, opened it back up, pointed his finger, it says, "And what you do, do it quickly." You know, that is the wrong way to discern the will of God for your life, friends. That is wrong. And so today we're going to be thinking about this, and very quickly here, the Bible says this in Ephesians 5, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In other words, don't be foolish, don't be unwise, understand what the will of the Lord is. And so how do we discern the will of God? Many years ago, when I was in college, I was attending the Methodist Church in Wilmore, and Dr. David Siemens was the pastor of a Wilmore Methodist Church, and he mentioned a book that I went out and I purchased. I still have the book on my bookshelf, and it was written by a man by the name of of Leslie Weatherhead. He was a pastor in London during the time in which Hitler was bombing London and people were trying to make sense. He was trying to make sense out of the will of God for that day and for that time. And as he began to read the word and pray, he began to discern for him, and I find it helpful for me and hopefully for each and every one of you. We'll look at this at various different ways today, sort of look at different angles of this as you're looking like a diamond this morning. And this is the way he described the will of God and how it's understood. First of all, there's God's intentional will or his perfect will. God created this universe. He put mankind in a garden called paradise, Eden. And he stepped back and he said, everything is good, everything is great. And God's intentional will for this universe and for you is to live in a relationship with him, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love and be in peace with one another. I mean, that's his will for humanity. It's his will for the universe and for the world, that we live together in peace and harmony and that we love him. But we all know what happened. In that garden, Adam and Eve succumbed to a temptation and they ate of that fruit, which was at first sweet, then became bitter. And what we find is that sin entered into the world and hijacked God's intentional plan. In other words, mankind's sin, mankind's selfishness hijacked God's plan and it sort of distorted everything. And now we live in a world that's filled with sin, filled with greed, filled with selfishness. And a lot of us are just butting heads and we're going our own way and we're confused about life. And so that's God's permissive will or his circumstantial will. He gave each and every one of us a free will. And we don't like to be thought about as being robots. And we argue this point ad infinitum, you know, how God gave us a free will. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And I don't want to be a robot. But anyway, God gave us a free will. That's just plain and simple. And we have the opportunity to choose. He permits us to do that. He allows it to happen. But our sinful choices, in many ways, cause that will to be circumvented. But he also has his ultimate will or his perfect will. And we know that God, of course, created this world good. Mankind brought sin into the world. But God's plan will not be thwarted ultimately. And when you read the book of Revelation, you discover that he brings about a new heaven and a new earth. We find this in the life of Jesus Christ, who came into this world to redeem and restore us. Mankind crucified him. He was put into a grave. They thought they had accomplished the victory, that they had actually destroyed the plan of God, but on the third day he rose again from the dead. And again, Jesus Christ is bringing all things together under him, and in the book of Revelation that will be culminated with a new heaven, a perfect heaven, and a perfect earth. Now that's how Leslie Weatherhead described it, but it's also described in this way. There's the providential will of God. And this is like the intentional will of God, but the providential will of God is the things that God is going to do. God is God, amen? And God sits upon the throne. And God does not ask me or you our advice. He does not take what he wants to do before Congress. He doesn't take it before the Supreme Court. He doesn't put it on the ballot so we can vote on it. God does his stuff, all right? And he's going to do his stuff regardless of what we think. That's his providential will. But then we find the moral will of God, or we could call it the ways of God. And the moral will of God or the ways of God are described in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, we have very specifically the moral wills of God included in the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, it's in the Sermon on the Mount. But when we look there at the moral will of God or the ways of God, we discover that God relates to us and how he wants us to live our lives. Relating to him, he wants us to honor him, to love him, to spend time together him on a Sabbath day. He wants us to relate to others. He doesn't want us to steal. He doesn't want us to steal possessions, steal husbands and wives, steal reputation. He wants us, you know, not to gossip, not to bear false witness. He wants us to love one another. And so we find that carried over to the New Testament. That is his moral will, or the ways of God. He tells us in the Word various truths and the ways that we ought to be able to live. And then the last one is the personal will of God. And this is where we most of us camp at. This is where most of us really rest at because we want specific answers to what God wants us to do for this day. Who should I marry? Where should I live? Where should I work? Where should I attend school? What color of clothes should I wear so it brings out the color and brightness of my eyes? I mean, we want to know, you know, the personal specific things that God would direct us, and we want answers to that. And this is where we get anxious. This is where we get uptight. This is where we really get tense because we're praying and praying and say, God, why don't you just give me a phone call today and help me to know You know, who it is I need to marry, where I need to go to school, what color clothes, whatever it might be. And we spend so much time and so much energy on this one specific area that we become frustrated and we wonder if we can ever really know the will of God. Well, I have to step back from that this morning because I don't find that God has ever spoken to me in an audible voice. He's never spoken in a phone call. And I have found something in my life that sort of sets me free. And I like what Nicole shared this morning in her memory verse, because this is exactly the passage of Scripture that I want us to look at a little bit later on. But what if the center of God's will meant this, that once we know His ways, when we know His ways, He will lead us into His will. You see, oftentimes we step here and we say, who should I marry? Where should I attend school? What color of clothes should I, whatever it might be. But let's stop and think about that for a moment. People, when they're graduating from school, and we'll have people who are graduating from school, and they're going to be saying, where should I attend college at? And by the way, it's, you know, I saw where Ryan got the store scholarship. Is that great? That's pretty neat. So I'm sure, Jim, you taught him everything he needs to know. So that is great. That's really a fantastic way of doing that. And he was going to Ball State, right? Okay. So anyway, that's congratulations on that. But anyway, where should I attend school? But maybe the question we ought to be asking is, what kind of person am I going to be once I get on campus? In other words, we want to know the what, we want to know the why, we want to know the when, we want to know the where's. But maybe God wants me to, rather than ask all of that, is to say, what kind of person am I going to be? Am I going to, one, be an obedient person? Am I going to be obedient to His will and obedient to what He's already revealed to me? I find in my life that oftentimes we want to know the concealed will of God, and know the secret things of God, but we don't want to obey the things that He's already revealed to us. And how do we believe God is going to lead us on the personal things if we're not willing to obey Him on the things that He has already revealed to us? And so God reveals His will to those who, first of all, are obedient to His revealed will, and then He will reveal His concealed will. But secondly, once we propose and purpose to be the right kind of person, it becomes natural for us then to be led by God, because we have purposed in our heart. It's not, where do I go to school? Am I going to live a godly life? It's not, where I'm going to work? Am I going to be the witness for Christ in my job where I'm at? Again, Nicole mentioned it. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him. And that gives me a clue as to what it might be. Every day can become the will of God for my life when I seek to live that day for His glory, for His purpose, and for His plans. Again, Jesus prayed what? Not my will, but yours be done. There's another verse that we look at, and it's this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And what is this verse saying in the book of Proverbs? It's saying, if I am submissive, if I am surrendered, if I am obedient to God, He will naturally lead me in the path that I need to go. So what if knowing the will of God then actually begins with actually being the right kind of person? Knowing the providential will of God will help me become obedient to the revealed will of God, or the moral will of God, or the ways of God. And the more I'm obedient to the ways of God, the more I am led in the personal specific will of God for my life. And it all has to go back to this fact that I'm trusting in the Lord, I'm leaning upon Him, not my own, I'm becoming a surrendered person, I'm learning to think His thoughts and know His ways. Now, believe it or not, there are times in my life when I have made some stupid decisions. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in that boat. I mean, how many of you have ever made a stupid decision in life? All right. And you know, all you who have confessed, and I like to say, if you didn't raise your hand, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire. But anyway, you know, we all make mistakes in life. But you know what? I really believe that my God is a big God. I go back and I think about the person of Joseph. He was sold into slavery. And I like that statement he says, because in the end he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I've made some stupid decisions in my life, you know, foolish decisions in my life. But I believe that my God is big enough that He can take even the bad decisions I make, and He can weave them together with the good decisions I've made in His glory, and He can actually accomplish, still accomplish, my will, His will for my life. I mean, God is going to accomplish, He's going to direct my paths when I surrender my life to Him. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him. And so it's more about being a person rather than being following a plan. And it's more about knowing God as a person, discovering who he is, rather than discovering his plan. Because once we begin to discover God, then we naturally begin to discover his will. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have guardrails, you know. And there are certain guardrails that we have for discerning God's will. I mean, we talk about guardrails along the highway. Some of you have taken your kids or grandkids bowling, and remember this, they got guardrails along the side of the bowling alley that you can raise up that keep the kids from bowling a gutter ball. And so there's guardrails that Jesus has set up, God has set up, that says, try to stay within these parameters, and it will help you be directed in the decisions you make. So discovering his will is in discovering him, and then he gives me principles on how to discover his personal will for my life. First of all, we need to be guidable. Guidable. The Bible says, don't be like a stubborn mule without understanding. And I want to tell you that, you know, there are some of us in this room, we can be pretty stubborn, right? We're going to do it our way regardless. And God says, I want you to be guidable. Guidable people look to God. Guidable people trust in the Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. We need to be guidable and open to the Spirit's leading. Secondly, we need to consult the map, or we need to consult the Bible. And when I come to this, I want to say this. God will not direct you in your personal will or in the specific will of your life if you're disobeying him in a more general rule. In other words, what I want to say is God does not contradict his word. He will never tell you to do something personally that contradicts his word generally. Do you grab a hold of that? And too often I've had people come to me and they want to know a specific will for their life. And right there in the Word of God, it says very specifically, this is not good. So he never contradicts his Word. But he says very simply in the Word, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So there's precepts like the Ten Commandments, and there's principles. And those principles are like universal truths that we can take a hold of, unchangeable truths, and we can apply them. They become the guardrails by which we're able to make the decisions of our life on a personal basis. And the more we get to know this book, I like what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says this is the mind of Christ. You know, we have the living Word of God, and then we have the Bible, the propositional Word of God, and God reveals his mind in this book. And the more I know his thoughts, the more I know his ways, the more and easier it becomes for me to discover his personal will for my life. Plain and simple. If I don't take time to be in the Word, how can I expect God to speak otherwise? Then fourth, we need to practice listening prayer. And, you know, I find this very difficult because some of us, we love to talk, and God doesn't get a word in edgeways. You know, we get easily distracted. How many of you get easily distracted? When we have some family come once in a while to our home to stay, you know, what happens is, that, especially in the summertime, and I like to sleep with the windows open. I just love the fresh breeze coming in. And guess what when they wake up in the morning? You know what they say to me, first of all? They've slept all night here in Selma, Indiana, with the windows open. What's the thing they're going to say in the morning? Trains. Yeah, trains. Boy, there sure enough was a trains last night. I mean, there must have been 1,000 trains go through Selma last night. I couldn't get a wink of sleep. Or secondly, that fire siren went off every 15 minutes, you know? Now, what happens? I mean, you know, we've lived here for 30 years. Some of you have lived here for 110 years. But anyway, eventually, you know, you sort of get used to that, if you can get used to it. I find that when you go from winter to summer and open the windows, that you sort of learn to cope with it, you know? But, you know, the distractions of life, we get distracted by internet and telephone and phone calls and people hammering on the doors and all the sorts of things in life. And we get used to that, we cope with it. And God says, you know what, why don't you just sort of put all that aside and go out to a quiet place and be still and know that I am God. Give me an opportunity to talk. Just listen for a while. And sometimes we have a hard time listening. Then, of course, be open to the Spirit, because he will guide the right person. Be the right person. In other words, have the right character. Says that the integrity of the upright will lead them. And so we need to be the right person, and I've already mentioned that. We need to consult godly friends and mentors. I mean, maybe you're making a decision or a personal decision, you're seeking the will of God. And so I would encourage you to seek out friends, seek out godly parents, seek out godly grandparents, Seek out godly mentors who have been there, done that, and who can give you some direction in life. And as they begin to share with you, you begin to have a little bit more light on the decision that you need to make in life. And then, of course, last of all, get the facts. Do some research. I mean, you may not have to do any research, but, you know, maybe you want to get some facts about life or about jobs or about marriage or whatever it might be, you know. I mean, you know, you get the facts on that. But in the end, you know, the ultimate thing for God is, you know, I think is for us to discover Him. It's not whether we live in Muncie or Indianapolis. It's not whether we go to this school or that school. It's not whether or not, you know, we have this, you know, job or that job. It is, do we know God? The important thing for us is to know Him. And as we begin to discover Him, we begin to discover His will. Because knowing Him intersects with my personal life. And by knowing His thoughts and His ways, it becomes easier for me to make those specific personal decisions for my everyday life. And over time, it becomes natural for me to merely flow in His will, because whatever I'm doing, I'm trying to do all for the glory of God. I want to praise Him. I want to honor Him. I want to lift Him up by my life. And it becomes natural, just like walking, just like riding a bicycle. You know, I had a little granddaughter yesterday, and she brought her bicycle, and she jumped on the bicycle, and Andrea says, look at her, she's just really zipping around, and she was, a little 16-inch bike, and she was zooming all around the place. Well, how many of you remember the first time you tried to ride a bicycle? You know, did you stay upright the first time you took off? Some did, some didn't. You know, some of us went boom, okay? We fell down, and we crashed. But then we became natural. And over time, we not only were able to ride the bicycle, but we could sit on the handlebars and ride backwards, and we could stand up on the seat, you know, and ride the bicycle. It becomes natural. And I'm not saying to teach your grandkids or kids that, okay? But, you know, that's something they learn on their own. But learning to flow in the will of God is basically discovering Him. And when we discover Him, we begin to discover His will and His personal will for our lives. Precious Lord, this morning, maybe some of us are struggling with how do we know the will of God, and we've been frustrated, we've been anxious, we've been all just freaked out because, God, you're not giving us that phone call that we desperately need. And what we need to do, Lord God, is to merely get aside, to spend some time in quiet prayer, seeking Your face and getting to know You and asking ourselves, Lord, you know, am I the right person? Am I the godly person? Am I getting to know Your thoughts and Your ways and Your mind? Lord Jesus, as we begin to know who You are and discover more and more of who You are, Lord, it does become natural to be able to please You in all that we do. So, Lord, you know, whatever it is that we do, we can really, you know, allow that to become the will of God, because whatever it is that we're doing for Your praise, for Your glory, and for Your honor. And I pray, may we always do that. May we always honor You in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.